Hey folks, this is Kevin. On this week's episode of Risk, you'll hear Ronna Levy.
And the guy is looking at me and I'm like, Jeff, just say yes. Just say yes to whatever I say, just say yes to that. And my brother starts yelling at me. What are you talking about? I'm like, just child porn. I'm in trouble. Just, Jeff, just help me, please.
That and more. But first, do you have a story about a time you did something that was not at all like you? A story that people who are meeting you for the first time might be surprised to learn about you? Maybe you did something off the beaten path for you and had a blast. Or maybe you wish you'd never wound up in that situation. If a memory comes to mind, pitch it to us. Everything you need to know about pitching us is at risk-show.com/submissions.
We'll be right back.
Folks, if you like good old-fashioned true crime mysteries, if you like stories where you feel like you're a detective finding clues, June's Journey is the name of this new game that you can play on your iPhone or your Android. You are uncovering the mystery of June's sister's murder. It's this well-to-do family in the 1920s living in a Great Gatsby-like mansion. Each scene uncovers new aspects of the story. Some parts are in New York, some parts are in Paris. There's all kinds of objects you're finding and trying to assess whether they're meaningful or not. You collect information, filling out your own photo album, and you're keeping track of all the characters. There's romance, there's scandalous family secrets. It feels like a really fun play or movie. And I've only made it through like 5 scenes, but I am told you could crack the case. All you need is an internet connection and downloading on iOS or Android. So discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Now here's the show. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and this is the Putbacks behind me now. We're calling this week's episode Stung. Stories about people getting caught red-handed or getting caught with their pants down. In a little bit, we're going to hear from the hilarious Frank Trainer, who's becoming a bit of a regular on the show now. But before that, a story from first-time Risk storyteller, Ronna Levy. Now, as often happens after Risk live shows, this story inspired a lot of conversation, you know, when folks meet the staff and the storytellers once the house lights and the house music comes back up at the end of a show. We like to hang out and chat. So after Ronna's story, I'll share with you some of what was said between she and I and a few Risk fans when this story was performed at Caveat. Listen, I can't recall the names of the people we were talking to. If you ever do have a nice conversation with me after a show, say hi to me on social media afterwards. I meet so many amazing people after Risk shows, and it's kind of an overwhelming flood, and I usually forget to ask what their social media handles are. So on Instagram, I'm at the Kevin Allison. Feel free to say hey. And Ronna Levy is at Ronna Levy. So here she is now, live at Caveat in New York last September with a story we call Scamming the Scammers.
It was a year ago last summer, and I was getting ready to retire. And I've been a city employee for over 30 years, so as a city employee, it is a lot of paperwork, and it has to be done just right, because those are my benefits, my pension. And it was a little scary. I was not going to get a paycheck anymore. So I was dealing with that paperwork, and I would call my HR person. She was not very helpful, and I was struggling. I was also dealing with my student loan. I was trying to straighten that out, and what was really throwing me over the edge was Medicare. I was now on Medicare, and they didn't believe that they were my primary insurance, and they were denying all of my claims. And I was getting harassing letters from doctors telling me that I owed them this money, and I would call agents, and I would get different answers every time I called. I mean, I just couldn't get it. I felt so frustrated. I was like drowning in paperwork. I had file folders like across my table, like a table runner of just file folders. I just didn't know what to do. And one thing that kind of kept me happy, every Monday at 3 o'clock, I would meet with some friends on Zoom. We started doing that during the pandemic, and we maintained our social activities on Zoom every Monday from 3 to 5, and I looked forward to that. That was like my one saving grace during the week. Monday, 3 o'clock, I turn on my computer, I'm getting ready to go to my Zoom, and this pop-up appears, takes up the whole screen. And there's a number, it says, call Apple. And then this like robotic voice comes on and says, do not turn off your computer, do not turn off your computer, do not touch anything. Like, how long is this gonna take? I wanna get to my Zoom. So I call Apple, and the tech picks up, and he tells me that at 4:30 in the morning, from YouPorn, somebody had downloaded $13,000 worth of child pornography onto my computer. And he thinks it was Russian hackers. I feel my stomach drop. I mean, like, child porn's illegal, right? Like, I could get in trouble. But here's the thing, I wasn't even thinking about like getting in trouble. What I was thinking about was paperwork. All I saw was calling the FBI, getting letters notarized to the FBI, emailing the FBI, sitting on hold with the FBI. Maybe I'd have to get a lawyer. I couldn't, no more problems. So the tech walks me through something called Team Viewer, and I give him my IP number. And I download TeamViewer, and that's so he can get inside my computer, and he's going to eliminate the child porn, thankfully. Then he hooks me up with, conferences me in with Mark from the Amex fraud department, because the $13,000 was charged to my Amex card. So he conferences me in, and I'm thinking, well, this is pretty cool. Apple and Amex are working together to fight crime. I mean, of course, it probably happens all the time. No wonder. So I talk to Mark, and Mark tells me that the $13,000 hasn't posted. It's going to post tomorrow when my billing cycle starts, and he's right. So in order to clean up this $13,000, I have to do it by midnight tonight. It'll be fine. And I'm thinking, you know what? Anything to get rid of a problem. So Mark tells me this is what to do. Because it was such a large amount that when these hackers charge the $13,000, Amex call them and said, if you verify the charges, press 1. If you don't, press 2. Well, they pressed 1 because my phone was hacked, I also learned. So Mark says, in order to get rid of this, you need to charge $13,000 worth of merchandise. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to charge for $13,000? And he says, when you charge that, what's going to happen is Amex is going to call you to verify. And instead of pressing 1, you're going to press 2, and you're going to deny these new charges, and you're going to deny the porn charges, and it'll be all gone. And I'm like, all right, whatever you, I cannot have another problem. So then Mark says to me, is there an Apple store near you? I said, yeah, actually there is. I can walk up there. He goes, no, do you have a car? I said, yeah. He goes, I need you to drive there. You know what? Whatever Mark says. So before I go, Mark says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to buy 2 $5,000 gift cards. And you're going to say, they're for your grandchildren. Now I'm looking. I got a cut-off jeans, a ratty T-shirt. I got my Boston Red Sox baseball hat. I'm like, no one's going to believe I'm a grandmother. And you know, it didn't even occur to me. How did he know that I could be a grandmother, that I wasn't some 20-year-old kid? But you know what? They know. They know. So I go over to the Apple store. I go in. I go to the back, I tell these two guys, I want to buy 2 $5,000 gift cards, I make up my own story, for my niece and my nephew. And the guy kind of looks at me and he mumbles something about scammers and scams, and I'm like, he doesn't know. I am out scamming the scammers. I'm going to fix the scam. So then he says to me, like as if he's daring me, he says, call your niece and your nephew. But Mark didn't tell me I was going to have to make any phone calls. I'm like, all right. So I call, my phone's hacked, mind you, so I borrow the Apple guy's phone. And I call my brother, where my niece and my nephew are, and I said, and the guy is looking at me, and I'm like, Jeff, just say yes. Just say yes to whatever I say, just say yes to that. And my brother starts yelling at me, what are you talking about? I'm like, just child porn. I'm in trouble. Just, Jeff, just help me, please. If you don't, I will never talk to you again. And he's yelling at me, and I'm like, I hang up. You know what? Fine, Jeff. If you're not going to help me, I'll do it myself. And I'm thinking, you know what? When this is all over in a couple of hours, and I'm sitting in my living room with my glass of wine, I'm going to call my brother, and he is going to be so amazed at how I out-scammed the scammers. Meanwhile, I leave the Apple store empty-handed, and I go into my car, and I call Mark, which Mark had given me a secret number to call, because I had to call on a secure line, you know, my phone was hacked. And I call him, and he says, okay, you need to find a Target, a Lowe's, a Home Depot, you need to go do these charges. Like in a trance. I go store to store to store to store. I am buying gift cards. And every time I buy a gift card, I go into my car, and Mark, I call Mark, and he kind of, I never bought a gift card. He explains how to open it. I peel off the little number, the sticker. I read him all the numbers. And I'm thinking, he's logging this in. This is great. I'm working towards my, you know, my $13,000. He's logging it in. And so it's about 10 o'clock now. I've only got $5,000, something like that. I'm in Home Depot, and it's 10 o'clock. And I buy a $1,000 gift card. And the clerk says to me, I'm sorry, we're closing. I'm like, what do you mean you're closing? He goes, I'm sorry. You know, you can come back tomorrow. I go to my car, and I'm like, shit, I had to get this done. I had to get I've only got $5,500. I'm beside myself. I go to my car, I call Mark, and he says, okay, hold on. Comes back, he goes, okay, listen, I just talked to my supervisor. I've got you an extension. So tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I'm going to call you, and we're going to finish this. Okay? And I'm thinking, oh God, I don't want to do this tomorrow. I want this problem to go away tonight. I can't. I don't say that. I'm like, okay. I go home I'm wiped out. And I go home, and I walk in my building, I walk up the stairs, and there's my upstairs neighbor sitting on the stairwell with my dog on her lap. And I just look at her, and she goes, "Where have you been?" And I just start crying. I'm like, "Child porn. I'm in trouble. Child porn." And she's like, "You need to call your brother and your sister." My brother obviously called my sister, and my sister called my neighbor and had the police come to do a wellness check on me. She says, "You got to call them." And I'm thinking, I don't want to talk to them. My brother wasn't going to help me. Besides, my phone is hacked. My neighbor gives me her phone. We go in my apartment. I call my brother and my sister. I conference them in. And my brother starts yelling at me. "What are you talking about? Gift cards, $5,000. What do you mean? What are you doing?" Like, "Jeff, stop. I am not you with your lawyerly ways. I don't know everything. I'm just trying to figure this out. I have been sitting here all summer. I have been dying under paperwork. I had a problem." And my sister gets on the phone. She doesn't yell, but she's a little stern. And she says, "Rana, there is no child porn on your computer. There's no charges on your credit card. And your phone isn't hacked. Who are you talking to? Who is telling this to you?" And I'm like, Mark from Amex Fraud. He's helping me. I have a problem. And she says, "No." And then she tells me she wants me to come to her house for a couple of days to just chill out and relax. I'm like, I don't want to go to anybody's house. I don't want to leave my house. I just hang up. I'm just sitting there in the dark with a glass of wine. And I'm just playing over the whole night, like, what happened? How did I do this? I was just, wait a minute. I was doing what he said. I was following. And I'm just going over in my head, and I'm like, I don't even know if my phone is hacked or not. And I was afraid to open my computer. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to open it in the daylight tomorrow because I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I just bought $5,000. I thought I wasn't going to pay for that. I was like, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I've watched The Tinder Swindler. And I've heard about those ladies who give money to guys for romance. I'm like, I wasn't looking for a romance. I wasn't looking for anybody to love. I just wanted someone to help me. I just thought I had a problem. I used to make fun of those people giving money to guys. It's like, oh my God. I was looking for help. Yeah. I let Mark help me. $5,500. Thank you.
Now, what do you see your computer screen?
I'm sorry?
What do you see your computer screen, sir?
A picture of a fish with boobs.
Sorry?
It's my desktop picture. My desktop picture is a fish with boobs.
Oh, okay. So, sir, I do believe, do you have a Google Chrome, right?
Yes, I do.
So, open your Google Chrome.
Okay.
Do you see search bar at the top of your screen?
Oh, yeah, I've never noticed that before. What's that for?
Yeah. You need to type that giant.zoho.com.
Giant.zoho. Can you spell that?
Z like zebra.
Yeah.
O like Oscar.
Okay.
S like Harry. Then O like Oscar. Then put a dot.
Mm-hmm.
Then com. COM. Have you done?
Yes.
Can you repeat that?
No.
Why?
I didn't do it right. I think I did it wrong.
Why?
I'm
not, sir.
It's on a different website.
Okay, hang up.
Why? I want my refund.
I'm wasting my time.
What do you mean?
Please read out. Please, can you read out? Repeat that. What are you typing?
giant asshole calling me in the middle of the day.com?
Jeffer, you are a big idiot, you know?
You're legitimate.
This is Risk. This is Dirty Art Club behind me now, and we just heard an excerpt from a scam call that our episode editor Jeff Barr whittled down from over an hour of stringing this scammer along, which followed Ronna Levy's story about being scammed. Now, like I said up top, I had a great conversation with Ronna and some Risk fans about what was happening in that story after the show where she told it. Ronna said that anxiety is a chronic issue for her, but at that particular period, she was overwhelmed with it. She was at a breaking point with stress and burnout. She said she was crying a lot and feeling like no one could really help with her mounting problems. And this new problem was like the straw that broke the camel's back. She went into fight or flight mode and just kind of stayed in that gear with tunnel vision, kind of like how you can hypnotize a person into not seeing what's in front of them. So when Ronna was in this state of overwhelm, when this guy who said he was from Amex said that he could help, Ronna just says she momentarily lost all sense of logic and reality, but then just got stuck in that gear. Scammers are good at crafting situations that create what's called amygdala hijack. An intense moment of fear can trigger a reaction in the brain that sidesteps the usual neural pathways so that a person might be more susceptible to hypnotic suggestion right in the midst of waking life. Amygdala hijack compels you to act before any rational thought can kick in, and then the hypnotic effect can sort of implant in your mind that fuzzy way of thinking about that particular issue so that whenever you return to thinking about it, you're still unable to see the forest for the trees. That's what many scams are designed to get you to do. There's an interesting podcast called Love Janessa about the scamming business. It's a huge organized crime industry nowadays. As you know, I'm sure, they focus a lot on the elderly as they're hoping to find people who are already cognitively impaired to some extent. But you'd be surprised at how many stories there are like Ronna's where someone who knows better falls for a scam anyway. So that is the story behind the story, as we say. Folks, a Risk fan named Dax sent me an instant message over on Facebook this week all about Sri Rajendran's story last week. Sri's story about helping his siblings escape from their abusive parents in India. Dax said, "Amazing story. As a father, how Sri was treated destroyed my heart. Stories like this are why I would rather eat instant ramen than not be a Patreon supporter." And then another Patreon patron named Elias recently sent us this note with their donation. "Thank you for curating the most moving and compelling stories I have ever heard, alongside those of people shitting themselves. Really the bravest, most mind-expanding, and compassion-generating podcast ever." Thank you so much, Elias and Dax. And for our Patreon supporters, we have a brand new bonus story out right now from Andrew Kimmler. And that sounds a little bit like this.
And they're going, "Oh, well, is it takeout if you bring it home? What makes hibachi hibachi? Is it the food or is it the experience? Is an open kitchen hibachi? What are the rules?" And I open the door and I go, "Ladies, please, I'm trying to masturbate."
And there's plenty more where that came from at patreon.com/risk.
We'll be right back. We're back.
Next up, we're going to hear from Frank Trainer, a story he recorded at his own show, It's Funny Now, in Los Angeles. Here's Frank now with a story we call Welcome to the Rockies.
Here's the thing about me. I was raised to be misogynistic, homophobic, and racist, or as my parents like to call it, being a good Catholic. And I was really good Catholic, see, back then. In a good sense of the word, or at least I thought there was a good sense to that word. I participated at church. I confessed my sins to the priest. I only took communion if I was free of sin, and I felt more guilty when I masturbated during Easter. You know, the priest told me that they killed the guy because I did that, so I felt really bad during those 40 days. It was a horrible time. And I also participated in my Catholic school in Argentina at the missionary group, and I went to tell poor people that they needed Jesus. Basically, we shoved Jesus down the throats of people that needed food and not magic, and that sort of started changing something in me. And at the same time, during those teenage years, I really wanted to come to the U.S. as an exchange student. And my conservative Catholic father was completely against it. He would say things like, if you go to the U.S., that's a rotten culture. In the U.S., you're going to start doing drugs, and you're going to lose your virginity. So pretty much against my father's advice, I applied for a scholarship when I was in my senior year in high school in Argentina, and I won. And I came to the U.S., and my father was completely right. I started smoking weed and I lost my virginity like that in a second. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest country on earth for real. All the movies were right. And of course, something else that I started doing is I stopped going to church completely. And within just a couple of months, I was a full-blown atheist thanks to the United States. And I was even already starting fights online with my family and strangers alike, because that's what you do when you're an atheist. You just go online and like, God, there's no God, fuck you. And then there's like, there's whatever. So cut to a couple of years later after that, when I was 21 in 2004, and I come to the United States again to work for the winter. I was in Keystone, Colorado, which is a small mountain town where locals from Denver come to ski. And I had a job at the Keystone Grocery working behind the cash register, the only like convenience store in like miles around. So they charged 10 times the prices. I like to call it every time a local complained about it. Welcome to the Rockies was like basically my line. Towards the end of the season, I was really low on money, so I needed some extra shifts. So I asked my manager for longer shifts, which meant that I ended up doing 11-hour long shifts behind the register, all while smoking a lot of weed and drinking a lot of alcohol, or as I called it, welcome to the Stonies. And one night after like 11 hours of working there, this guy shows up with a six-pack of beer, puts it on the counter, and I explained to him that because of Colorado law, alcohol at convenience stores has less alcohol level than if you go to a liquor store, and that it's better to go next door to the liquor store and get the beer there because it's better. And the guy's like, yeah, I don't care. And I'm like, I don't even know why I try. So I ring him up, and he leaves. And the second that the door closes behind him, it opens up again, and the guy walks back inside without the beer, and behind him, holding the beer, is a cup. And it's then that I realize that this is clearly, clearly a teenager, and he's like 15, and he looks very young. I don't know what, I was so tired. I was like, oh, fuck. So the cop basically gives me a citation to appear in front of a judge a couple of weeks later and leaves. And I'm like, oh, shit. So a couple of weeks later, it's my day to appear in front of the judge, and I'm getting dressed, and I put on my suit. Now, I was only spending 4 months in Colorado at a ski resort working at a convenience store, but I still brought a suit. Why? Because my mother has magic powers. See, when I was packing before leaving Buenos Aires, she told me, bring a suit. You never know when you're going to need to dress nice. And she was right, the old witch. So there I was in my suit in front of the at the court, and I'm really nervous. Basically, it's a bunch of people waiting to talk to the judge about some minor thing they had committed. It's basically like Judge Judy on Ambien. It's really boring, but I'm really, really nervous because I don't know how much my fine is going to end up being. I don't have a lot of money. I can't really lose the very few bucks that I have. And then my turn comes, and I go in front of the judge, and he goes over what happened, and I explain to him that, you know, I come from a third world country where nobody cares about the drinking age. Anyone can drink, and I had been working really long shifts, and I was really tired, and this guy was like, I don't care about the alcohol level. And I was like, I don't even know why I try, and then I just ring him up, and I forgot to ask for an ID because I was so tired and everything got mixed up in my brain. And then the judge tells me that I have two options. Number one, I can pay a $600 fine, which is basically all the money that I have saved at that point. Or number two, I can do 48 hours of community service, and I can do it because I'm going back to Argentina at the end of the season. I can do them back in Argentina and then have someone from the place where I do the community service send a letter to the court saying that I had fulfilled my sentence. My eyes open wide with delight. I have a really hard time concealing my smile. And it's then that, you know, I learned something very important about the United States. The system works because people fear the system, you know? One nation under God, the fear of God. Oh yeah, God. That's what I need right now. So for the first time in like 3 years, I decide for a tiny, tiny second to believe in God again. And it's then that I tell a judge, you know, I answer to the judge like a contestant at a game show when I go, well, Your Honor, Your Majesty, the money sounds really tempting, but I'm going to have to go with the 48 hours of community service. See, back in Argentina, I used to be a part of a Catholic school, and they had a missionary group, and I was a part of that missionary group. And upon my return back to my third world poor country, I can work with them, and then, you know, my sentence will be fulfilled. The judge is rejoicing in the faith of this young Catholic boy appearing in front of him. So he tells me to go, and we'll see me again maybe sometime in the future. So I leave thinking, that's it, I'm done. And a couple of weeks later, back at work at the grocery store, a lady walks in and she comes to the counter and goes, really nervously, like not even make eye contact. She was like, can I have a pack of Marlboro Reds? So I get the cigarettes, put them on the counter like in a movie. And when she goes to grab them, I remove them and go, can I see some ID? She gives me her ID shaking. I look at it and I go, it says here you're 15 years old. I can't sell you cigarettes. And then she just leaves. And when the door closes, it opens up again. And she walks back in again with a cup that says, that was a test and you passed. And I almost shit my pants right there. And then, of course, when I went back to Argentina, I got in touch with the lady that ran the missionary group at my old school. And I asked her that if with her consent, I could basically write a letter and sign it with her name saying that I had done 48 hours of community service, even though I didn't do a single minute of that community service. And I sent the letter to the court. It took like 6 months to the thing that says that they got the letter to get to my house. It was like, oh my God. It was like, basically, if my girlfriend at the time had told me that she was late, I wouldn't have been as nervous for all that time until I got the negative answer, basically. And in 2011, I went back to the U.S. Embassy in Argentina to get another visa to return to the United States. And I was really scared that maybe, you know, the incident would come up and I would be denied the visa, but it didn't. And I got my visa. Why? Because, again, the system works. And there's a way around it. And if a convenience store wants to charge 10 times the prices because it's the only one in miles, or if a young boy wants to be a snitch for the cops, or if a young atheist wants to get away with not paying a fine for something a mistake he made honestly, then God bless the United States of America and welcome to the Rockies. Thank you.
If you go to the U.S., that's a rotten culture. In the U.S., you're going to start doing drugs, and you're going to lose your virginity. Doing drugs, 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 lose your virginity. Doing drugs, doing drugs, doing drugs, lose your virginity. Drugs, 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 lose your virginity. Drugs, 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 drugs. If you go to the U.S., that's a rotten culture. You're going to start doing drugs, and you're going to lose your drugs. Rotten, 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 rotten. I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church. Going to church. Going to church. I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church. Going to church. Going to church. Rotten, 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 rotten.
Born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, hanging by a song. But the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. If the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire. Softer than a lullaby, Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
This is Risk. This is John Denver behind me now. We just heard an interstitial by Taj Easton, and before that, Frank Trainer, who runs the show called It's Funny Now in Santa Monica, and you can find out more about it at itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. Folks, we have two Risk Live shows coming up in March. On March 19th, Risk is live in LA at the Lyric Hyperion, and on March 21st, Risk is live in New York at Caveat. You can always find out when and where the next Risk Live show is at risk-show.com/live. And folks, just yesterday, we did another What's Your Story event in Brooklyn, which is different from a Risk Live show. Almost 40 people showed up yesterday, and it was so wonderful. What's Your Story is the name of these events we're now facilitating, where a member of our staff, like myself or JC, will lead a room full of strangers to break the ice and get to know one another through sharing little stories that might come to mind based on prompts we give. Have you ever been to a social gathering? I don't know, your college alumni or your church organization or a cultural or hobby group that you belong to, but you don't know anyone there, so you feel intimidated about starting conversations and meeting people because no one's facilitating the actual socializing. Well, What's Your Story events not only give you lots of tips on socializing, but we make it so fun and easy with activities that instantly get people laughing and connecting. In fact, we could do a What's Your Story event for your business or church or extended family or your favorite meetup or cultural association. There's often folks who show up to What's Your Story who didn't read the advertisement, and they're under the mistaken impression that they're coming to a Risk show, and then they freak out when they learn, oh my God, What's Your Story? It means they will have to be telling stories in pairs and small groups, and they can even volunteer to share a story with the whole group at the end if they like. But then, after at first freaking out, once that first activity is underway, even those people who thought they were coming to a Risk show warm up instantly. It is so fun to see the social anxiety just melt away. People hang out afterwards. People make new friends. People come back again. We've had people who just keep coming back to these. Repeat customers. Someone from my well-being practices workshop that I led last year on Zoom, he came all the way down from Albany, and he'd been having a really hard time in his social life last year. So it was so beautiful to see him relaxing and laughing and being amazed by others' stories and amazing them with his stories. So remember, you can always find out when and where the next What's Your Story event is happening at risk-show.com/live. And you can always email me directly at kevin@risk-show.com if you think you might want us to lead a What's Your Story curated social event for a group that you're a part of. If you'd like for the host of the event to be, say, a person of color, or a queer person, or a Gen Z person, whatever it might be, we can arrange that as well. You know, if your local Black Lives Matter group could really stand to bond and connect more at a What's Your Story event, we can arrange that someone who doesn't look like me facilitates the event. So keep in mind, these events are not risk shows. They're facilitated socials, and they're called What's Your Story?
We'll be right back. We're back.
Folks, Women's History Month is underway. So for this Thursday's episode, it'll be the best of women's stories. But that's Thursday. And folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
I expected the Rocky Mountains to be a little rockier than this.
I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
Next week on Risk.
Time travel, previously thought to be only in the realm of science fiction.
Next week.
The next week, the next month, the next year.
What marvelous mysteries will unfold as we travel into the future?
Wieners.
I'm so sad.
Hey Siri, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Find out next week on your source for all things mystical and fascinating, Risk.
Do you need the account number to send it to?
Yes, please, as well. I was going to ask you that as well right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Please provide me with your account number.
All right, my account number is 12345. Fuck you! Did you get that down? Hello?